Chapter 13. The Mystery of the Blood, Part 3. As we established in the previous chapter, the human soul being possesses three fundamental principles: the consciousness, the nerve fluid, and the blood. Through its mysterious atmospheric impulse, the Christ hierarchy tries to influence the soul being to liberation. In addition, we see a mighty activity of the dialectical hierarchy with the aim of raising humanity to its idea. We then sketched in detail humanity's initial reaction to the touch of the atmospheric Christ radiation. Every human being, every nation, every race reacts, must react consistent with its earthbound blood being. That is why a misapprehension of supremacy and a would-be lofty task colored by the blood image develops in every people. For the time being, in view of humanity's very sunken materialistic blood image, a better reaction can hardly be expected. Therefore, it will be clear to the pupil of this school that this atmospheric impulse, which is increasing in strength by the hour, will drive and oblige humanity to wholly different consequences with a totally bewildering and unstoppable compulsion. So we must describe and study all the consequences before they can gain power over us and find us unprepared. The enormity of this time and the magnificent grace shown us in the spiritual school is that we are indeed being prepared, that we receive opportunity to bring about a state of being in which we can meet the coming events. That is why none of us should neglect a single day. The time for the ordinary reaction of interest, the time for pupilship as entertainment, is over. A dividing line is etched into the blood. On which side will we be standing presently? When humanity's blood division becomes fundamental and the new human type clearly shows itself, it will become increasingly difficult to reach the right side of the dividing line in good time. Then, neither a helping and encouraging word, nor a whole series of informative clarifications about the process, nor the force field of a school can do anything more for a human being whose blood is so poisoned as to nature that the earthly forces hold them captive. The time for the determinant choice and the fundamental change of the self will take place in the near future. You need not accept this because of some authority that is attributed to us, or on the grounds of a statement in the sacred language, or such like. We shall point out to you the sober facts as far as this is granted us, and our ability reaches facts that can already be observed as signs of the time, facts that will soon have an overwhelming binding force for us all. We hope with great earnestness that you will respond to everything made known to you and to which your attention will be drawn with self-realizing action. Do not forfeit a single hour. Contemplate, orientate yourself, for which you will receive abundant opportunity, and with the aid of all the received information and suggestions in self-realization, build with us a working apparatus that will in due course be able to take up thousands of refugee souls. Self-realization. Many appeal to you with this term. You can find a great deal about it in literature and the media, self-realization as a possession of the blood. Of course. But self-realization in the sense of the atmospheric Christ impulse, or self-realization corresponding to the driving force of the dialectical hierarchy, can you discern these? Can you distinguish these two methods, both aiming at blood realization with all their finesse?
You cannot. That is why the school wants to inform you, because the path of self-realization in the sense of the atmospheric Christ impulse is a path of struggle.
We have to pave a way through illusion and natural resistance. We have to solve the mystery of the blood, because the blood holds the formula for both imprisonment and liberation. The blood, the third fundamental aspect of the soul, is the key to dialectics. In the blood we find the synthesis of the consciousness, the nerve fluid, and the entire nature of the microcosmic principle. We know that when the whole system is no longer in tune with the spirit, it develops a degenerative process, a general decay, which finally leads to the death and destruction of a part of the system and re-embodiment of that part, based on the degenerative level reached, in brief, to perpetual pain and unspeakable woe. It is logical that salvation of the microcosmic system has fundamentally to begin with the blood. The transformation of the blood will change life, eventually conquer death, and change the personality. It is also clear that if one wants to keep you in a particular state of being, one must take care to ensure that the blood nature, which determines that state of being, remains the same. It is equally understandable that one creates certain life attitudes and behaviors through blood culture. So you can also understand the desperate attempts of the dialectical hierarchy to raise humanity's state of being to its own status by religious and occult blood influences, and you perhaps grasp that these attempts are not without self-interest. The blood has diverse qualities. Among other things, it has a radiating faculty which forms the food for the dialectical gods. When humanity's blood increasingly degenerates, the radiating force does too. The food of the gods diminishes in quality, so these entities share in the general malaise. Therefore, in their struggle for existence, they must make every effort to raise the quality of the radiating capacity of humanity's blood. The ancient wisdom says the blood contains all of life's mysteries. It contains all the materials one can think of. Our blood radiation also produces shadows. All thoughts and desires that circulate in our field of manifestation are enlivened by the radiation of our blood, because the blood supplies the substances from which they form their appearances. The atmosphere is then severely deteriorated and poisoned by the radiation of humanity's blood. Therefore, death in nature is an indispensable safety valve for dialectical conservation. That is why the magical blood ritual has throughout all times been a method of the dialectical hierarchy to maintain the blood radiation for as long as possible at a level fit for consumption. That is why the Jewish priesthood forbade the eating of arterial blood to deter further brutalization. This prohibition clearly did not arise from humanitarian considerations, for animals were ritually slaughtered with monstrous cruelty so that their blood could serve for magical purposes. The arteries were cut open and the animal bled to death in full consciousness, while the blood was collected in vessels. With some minor differences, the following process developed with all peoples of those times. The temple is filled with a great throng of people, in devout attitude and full anticipation. In another unseen part of the temple is a priestly choir. The choir begins to sing. The music is immensely melancholic. Its influence is calculated. It is much like the contemporary Gregorian chant, which is not Gregorian, but was plagiarized by Gregory. It has a very oppressive rhythm, a gnawing deep longing. All present in the temple feel a kind of daze coming on. They become overconscious, extremely sensitive. Trumpets resound, trumpets made from human thigh and shin bones. Drums roll, drums made of human skulls and human skin. Handfuls of incense are scattered on the burners. Thick clouds of smoke drift through the temple. Those present become nervous, and a mysterious haze settles around them like a veil. A cry of pain pierces the strained atmosphere. The high priest has thrust the knife into the animal's throat. The blood is caught in silver vessels and poured out over the altar. The rhythm of the music accelerates. The priests are reciting the mantras. Their hands make strange mudras. The gods are invoked. A storm arises and howls through the arches. An icy coldness is tangible. The great wind instruments come to a stop and the decisive sentence is pronounced. Fantastic shadows glide through the arches. The gods appear. With throaty cries, many people drift senselessly, and we see them come and go, monstrosities from the astral worlds who revel, as people say, in blood and rotting flesh, and in human death throes. And because many stab themselves with daggers, blood streams through the temple, it is a blood orgy. And they dance, like David, before the Ark of the Covenant. Many are dressed in long, white garments, their heads uncovered and completely shaved. They are armed with knives, and in their ecstasy, they wound themselves and others until their clothes and the floor are drenched with blood. They dance. And before the temple service is finished, each dancer has their invisible companion whirling around with them. It is like an oppressive dream, but such congregations are still held in modern times in some parts of our world, and the gods feed on the vapor of these blood orgies. Is it in essence any different in the modern West under the yoke and curse of dialectical Christianity? When you attend gatherings of people, you will come to discover, at least if you are willing to study it, that all who live earnestly try to maintain a certain blood radiation in the service of their gods. The pantheon of Western gods is huge and very extensive. From the dark and wretched in the border regions, up to and including the exalted ones in the light spheres, they all practice their blood-robbing actions. They receive and sustain the food for the gods. Methodically or unconsciously, we all invoke our gods and maintain their existence. Through our collective blood radiation, we ourselves call up their responses. We may ask why animal sacrifices are no longer practiced in our time. It is because the sunken state of the human race no longer permits it. It would no longer be successful, or it would have a completely wrong effect for the gods. Arterial blood from animals possesses forces that can access a primitive, uncomplicated, childlike human being. But as soon as humanity advances in its culture, human nature proves to be no longer susceptible to it, quite the reverse. Animal blood would encapsulate it more than ever. That is why the various ancient priesthoods proceeded to offer human as well as animal blood. In the ritual described just now, this happened spontaneously during possession. In other rituals, besides animals, human beings were also intentionally, ritually slaughtered. And even this still happens up to the present day. Whatever the case, since the founding of the dialectical world order, everything was and is applied to live out of the blood of others. It is the law of dialectics, the law of the natural necessity of parasitism. How is it with us then? What is required of us? We who also possess our blood radiation, we who thereby vivify our own pantheon in our own personal field of manifestation, we who through countless ties with this nature and simply by our presence in this life field stand open to and give the opportunity for parasitism. We who also live from the blood of others are born out of the blood and nourish ourselves with plant blood. We, who are bound like all the others, what is required of us? A complete revolution in and of the blood is required, not a cultivation of the blood, nor a modification of it, and not a self-protecting mode of life in corruption, but completely outside of all that, in another, different blood nature.
The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sins. What does this mean, congregating in mystical or occult ecstasy to invoke the purifying powers? We can assure you that we would this way produce a blood radiation on which the gods and the phantoms would feast. We can assure you that by doing so, we would daily contribute to increasing our general possessed state.
No, the establishment of a completely new metaphysics is required of us. We go through knowledge to experience and through experience to revelation. We should make ourselves open in the blood by self-liberating action for the mysterious atmospheric Christ impulse. This is the revolution which we practice in this school.
When we can connect with the Christ radiations right into the blood, we break free from the grip of nature. Then we develop a blood radiation on which the dialectical parasites can no longer feed. In this way, we effect the foundations on which the entire dialectical society rests and carry out for ourselves and others a definitive world revolution.
That is something wholly different to mystic sunbathing. That is a courageous way to spirit, soul, and body. That is a return to the eternal dawning. That is the cross and the rose. That is the purpose of this school. It is, Jesus is everything to me.